Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. All right, welcome back to our final episode of the Hope of Cheyenne series. We're going to be talking about A Moment to Love, but before we hop into the book, here's another reading question for you. Do you need complete silence to read, or can you read with chaos happening around you? And what is your ideal reading soundtrack?
I like silence. If there's I can read a little. I can read a little if there's a little bit, but like when there's a lot going on, I get distracted and then I'm just lost my focus. So I prefer it to be quiet when I read.
I'm kind of the same. I can do it with everything going around, you know, busy, but my ideal soundtrack would be like early mornings or late at night when it's like more quiet.
Yeah.
Not interrupting anybody.
Because sometimes when there's a lot going on, I feel like I have to reread a lot. Like, I'm not paying attention with the book because you got all this going on. So,
My preference is silence. But that's also, like, even at night, you know how some people need white noise. I prefer complete silence. So, but I can read with other stuff going on around me, generally because once I get into it, then I don't hear anything else. And like Derek will try talking to me and I'll be like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah,
I'm so
that.
Into the book. When you think about an ideal reading soundtrack, I like to, Derek's really good. He's so sweet. He'll put on like a YouTube video that's like an ambiance scene where it's just like bubbling water.
Or and rain.
Birds.
Or,
or rain. And then leave me alone while I read or write. So I guess that would be like my ideal soundtrack. Because any type of music, especially if they're singing, it distracts me.
I like in the wintertime putting the fireplace on. I've done that at work on my little MacBook on another screen. I've put my fireplace on. Or I've done like the rain or the gurgling. And that is relaxing enough.
Yeah.
That I can read with that, but not music playing and singing.
So I do that too, just to have that sound, because work can be chaotic. And I'm like, I just need this calm noise.
Do you have the Calm app? I have the Calm app.
I don't have the Calm app.
I'll have to share you. I think I can share a free subscription with you if you want it. Because it has like bedtime stories, like Matthew McConaughey will read to you if you want him to. Or they have like different waterfall sounds and things like that. On there.
Ooh,
it's just kind of nice to be able to click and pop it in for a minute.
Is that your reading soundtrack?
No, I like silence is preferred.
Yeah, I get that. I do have a writing soundtrack, which is very different. And there goes our clock. We should have waited. Well, we can just let it ding in the background. Not a problem.
It's a pretty sound. I like it.
It is. It's very historical. If it's our historical romance
that we're
discussing, it was his. Yes, it was a gift to his great grandmother from her brother in 1914. So it is historical, because 1914.
I like mom and dad's. I like the clock mom and dad have in the dining room. That was grand and grandpa's that chimed. I don't know. You have to wind it up.
Yeah, somehow that's going to have to get split. Everybody gets it for 2 months out of the year, since there's six of us.
Sarah and I actually took it to a clock place in Kinderville and had it fixed.
All right, you want to take us in, give us the description of A Moment to Love?
All right, A Moment to Love. We have Dr. Carrie Vogel's heart is shattered when her groundbreaking medical research is stolen and falsely credited to her ex-fiancé. With years of diligent work lost, she grapples with the disastrous turn of her career and leans on her faith for strength. When she learns her Pinkerton friend Spencer Duvall is a justice-driven mission to her hometown of Cheyenne, she agrees to an arranged marriage to provide him with a cover story. But merely pretending to be in love with Spencer becomes increasingly difficult the more time she spends with him. Spencer is determined to apprehend the ruthless murderer who killed his father years ago, but his quest ignites unexpected emotions, both for Carrie and about the desire for revenge that has dominated his life. As the web of suspects tightens, their futures hang in the balance, and they must learn to trust God's plan as unexpected love takes flight.
All right, we have two very unique problems, I think, in this story. You've got Spencer, who has built his life around this revenge for his father's death as a Pinkerton. I mean, he's not been vicious. He's been going about it legally, trying to obtain the murderer. And then you have Carrie in her career choice, right? So let's talk about Spencer real quick first, because I feel like Tracy does a really good job of fleshing out this, like, helping him realize that he is living simply for revenge. He has no plans for his life once this revenge has been taken care of. So what were your thoughts on that as you read through the story?
Felt kind of sad for him that he didn't have anything to really live for other than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what was he going to do once he figured it out? Like, that's all you were.
Yeah. Yeah. And he gets to that point, and I think it's because, like, he's always had faith, but I don't think he ever consulted God about his plans, like, what he was doing until he got to Cheyenne and got really connected with Carrie's family, because they're all like, oh, you guys are married, you know, he's one of them. I loved Carrie's dad, which we'll talk about that family dynamic here in just a minute, but how he just takes him under his wing. He's like, hey, we have a men's Bible study. Why don't you come? And he gives him a job and just, like, pours a lot of wisdom into him. So I just really liked watching his character change in that. Of course, then he's in love with Carrie, so that gives him something, eventually gives him something to live for as well. But what did you think about Carrie and her career choice? And would you have chosen a career like hers in the 1800s?
That shocked me, especially in that time.
And from the family dynamic she came from.
Yeah.
That was surprising.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I mean, I think it would be really hard in that time period to do that. But
I think I like to think I'd have the guts to kind of challenge society by going into medicine. I wouldn't go into medicine ever. I was not. God did not create me for that. In fact, the other day we had a kid come in with a bloody nose that was just, like, pouring out. But I was not in the office at the time. And I walked through, like, right after they got him into the nurse's station. And Ashley's like, I'm so glad you weren't here just a minute ago, because she told me about it. And I said, yep, I would have been passed out right on the floor. Yeah. I can't handle blood. It's so bad. I think I've told you all before. They make you do stop the bleed training. I started to get woozy at the training, and there were no pictures. Mm-hmm. It was all verbal discussion about, you'll have to get your fingers in there and clamp down. It's going to be warm. It's going to be wet. And you're going to find that pulse point, and you're going to squeeze. Ugh. And I was like, I looked at our other administrators and I said, I don't think I'm the one you want trained to do this. I'm going to pass out.
But the more trained you are, the better you'll be.
Oh, yeah. Our nurse was like, oh, honey, you're going to be fine. Adrenaline will kick in. Yeah. You aren't going to pass out. And I said, Be prepared. You're going to have a second patient, I promise you. I think I would have the guts to do a career that I really wanted, even though it challenged societal norms. But then I think, I don't know that I really would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be hard.
It is. Hers was all on research of the brain, which was very fascinating for her. So, you know, being a behind the scenes researcher, maybe, but I don't know. I was like, you go, girl. I don't think I could have done that. Okay, so let's back up to Carrie's family dynamics. Was that hard to track for you at first?
First, I was like, what?
I think you're right in that if we would have read The Heart of Cheyenne, the series before this one, it would have been very easy to follow.
Because book one is about Edward and Mary Beth and Carrie. And then you would see that, and it would help you understand, because what she was trying to explaining it.
Yeah.
It's like she's really not what they're calling her, but she grew up like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually felt sorry for her, because she kind of was like, I'm here.
She felt like she didn't really belong, but yeah, I was like, honey, how do you not see it? Like, you're totally one of them.
Yeah, but
So what it is
I didn't want to give too much away without, I didn't know how much.
Well, it's okay. I mean, I don't think that's like a key plot point. Do you?
No.
No.
So Carrie's mom is actually her sister. So her older sister. Mm-hmm. So Carrie was like a late in life baby and her parents died. And when they died, her older sister adopted her and she married her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So then they became, but she was like a baby. So they were her parents, right? Her older sister was basically her mom. And so then all of her siblings really aren't her siblings. They're actually her nieces and nephews, right?
And Edward,
is that the best way, the easiest way to describe
it? And Edward is really her uncle, not her dad.
Right. No.
Her brother-in-law.
Her brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, sorry.
But she calls him mom and dad because they raised her from practically birth.
But Mary Beth made sure she knew. Yeah. I mean, in the first book, when she was leaving, she had to go quickly and pack stuff. Mm-hmm. She made sure she packed stuff for her mom, actual mom, and made sure she knew, like, this is what happened, but, you know.
Yeah.
Told her about her real mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where she feels she doesn't belong. Kind of like, that's what you don't belong, but I don't know how to word it. Like, her place. Like, I'm not really your sister.
Doesn't know really
place. Yeah, I'm your aunt.
Yeah, but you were raised like siblings.
Yes,
Yeah, it's kind of awkward. What did you think of Oswald? He was her first fiance. At the beginning, he's the one that stole all her research.
Oh,
yeah.
Did not like that man.
Mm-hmm.
He treated her terrible. Just.
Yeah, I was like, honey, she was
like,
raised
why?
In such a loving home.
Yeah, and then it's just like, well, you're a woman, you can't.
Like, discrediting her work.
You can't take credit
taking
for
it.
This. Yeah.
Like, how did you not see it? But I think she was just so, like, into her
research, she didn't want to give it up, and he was there, and kind of one of those things.
I didn't like him either. Did the way things played out between Spencer and Eugene go the way you thought it would? Don't give anything away. I was just curious, because that is a huge plot. Excuse me, plot point. And I don't want to give it away for anybody who hasn't read the book yet, but. Did it go the way you thought it would?
No.
No.
But it was very interesting and very... I like the ending.
I like the way Tracy Pearson did it. I mean, it could have gone totally opposite that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
I agree. So you liked how it like the things that happened, even though it was a little twist to what you thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because your first few, like, introductions with him, you're like, you're still thinking, what a slime ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and more comes out that your heart softens a little bit.
Yeah.
What did you think about the way the Vogels took Spencer in, even though they were shocked by Spencer and Carrie's, like, sudden marriage?
I think it just showed what good people they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, they took her in, and then now they're taking him in. But I also liked how they knew they were hiding something, like a good parent would. You know?
Yeah.
They knew.
But in on that, if when you read the other series, you're going to see similarities there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Between what Edward, Mary Beth, and those two.
Okay.
You're going to see some, a little.
Okay.
Similar. Because in the first book, I won't give too much away, but there's a pastor in there that I do not like. He is not a nice pastor at all.
Oh.
And what he was trying to do with Mary Beth and with Carrie. With
Carrie. Oh, yeah.
And so there was like only one way to fix this. And so you'll see what happens.
Oh, I think I know because they kind of hinted at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that pastor, I'm like, what kind of pastor are you that you would, you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not unfortunately, that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but there's some similarities there that you would see. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend the people either read that series first and then this, or if they read this, to go back and read that one.
Yeah.
Because it is really good.
Yeah. I can imagine. It's Tracy's book, so I can imagine it's really good. Just, I know I didn't really have that on our sheet, but just like thinking about the romance level, which we'll get there. You don't have to rate that right now. But the fact that they're already married, legally married, and living together, and then they have these moments. I think there was just a little more heat to this one than that because it was like, more than once, he was like, I'm going to my room, or this is not going to be just a marriage on paper only.
Right.
Kind of like what their nightly ritual was.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not acting like it's on paper only.
Mm-hmm. But they both were saying, like, their feelings have grown. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But, yeah, so I thought there was a little more heat into this one, but that was just my thoughts. I don't know what you guys thought about it.
I loved it.
I was
when,
happy to see
it. I loved it when they came to Mary Beth and Edwards and they're like, oh, you can sleep up here in this room.
Oh, yeah. And they're like,
okay.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, then, what do you think the mystery level is?
Mocha?
There is a little mystery in
here.
With Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With figuring out who he is, although the reader is always clued in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The characters aren't, but you are as a reader. Because she does write from his point of view.
Yeah, but at first you're like, who is this guy?
True. True. So I don't know. You could probably go espresso to
Mocha. So, I mean, it's a mystery to them. And the, but I guess more espresso.
Yeah. What about the suspense level?
Espresso.
I agree. There's not a lot of suspense. I mean, the most suspense was at the opening scene, I think. What about the inspiration level?
Hey, Mocha.
Mocha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mocha. This one wasn't, I don't think, was as intense of a topic that she was addressing, but it was. She still does it, addresses it really well. What about the drama level?
The latte. The latte drama.
Latte.
Really?
Well.
Yeah. It felt like a mocha to me. So maybe, I don't know, we can say mocha to latte.
Yeah.
How about the romance level?
Mocha.
I'm still going espresso because it could have been more. Could have been. But you're right. It was more than the last one.
Yes,
so
I agree.
Espresso to mocha.
Overall, I would say it's an espresso. For this series, I'd probably say it's a mocha.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And you know how you were saying about the beginning of the book? I would say of the three in the series, the beginning of this made me think of other historical books we've read. It wasn't such a dramatic, a big as a bang as book one and two. To me, I'm like, well, this is kind of, we've seen this happen in other ones.
Yeah, true.
It was sad that he's seen it, but it wasn't like the other two.
Yeah.
I feel like, anyways, in this one.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point.
Yeah. What is your overall lasso rating of A Moment to Love?
Three
lassos all around. We loved it. It was a great series. Great series. All right. And then next week, we have our interview with author Tracy Peterson, and she does give us some pretty cool insights to the series and what she's working on now. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to stay tuned for that one.
I've already got our next books ordered for the library.
Do you really? Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.